Got a WNBA trade. The New York Liberty have traded all-star Tina Charles to the Washington Mystics. It's part of a three-team deal that happened on Wednesday. Several components to this. Importantly, New York will receive the 12th pick in the WNBA draft from Washington, as well as the 9th and 15th picks from Dallas. So a lot of rebuilding going on there as we get ready for the WNBA draft coming right around the corner. Speaking of news that we continue to get, like Felix, every day, we got an updated jersey. Is it really? I mean, is it that much of an update? I don't know. But the Browns have changed their jerseys at least slightly. So they used all-star defensive end Miles Garrett to put it on. And as he said, the Browns are getting back to their roots with their new uniforms. So they've unveiled the uniforms for the 2020 season and beyond. They were inspired by the championship Browns teams of the past. So a little bit of a throwback to the past for the Browns as they do an update to their jersey. It becomes sort of the daily thing. And lastly, speaking of daily updates, we've got an update from Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, who's clarifying at this point his frustration after a weekend where it was reported that there was a party at his house. And his quote, "I understand and accept that there are additional responsibilities and media scrutiny that come with being an NFL quarterback, but it is very frustrating and disappointing when people provide completely inaccurate information from anonymous sources, especially now. To set the record straight, I know we all need to do our best to socially distance, and like everyone else, I'm continuing to adjust what that requires, but the truth is that I was with fewer than 10 people for a home dinner, not a party, on Friday night." That's part of what Dak Prescott had to say. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I want you guys to chime in. It's an interesting article out on ESPN.com that we're going to get into through the course of this morning or this afternoon about Dr. Fauci's comments on being fanless. Sports may only be able to come back in the short term if there's no one in the arena. And that harkens to a Seton Hall Business School survey that was done where they surveyed and showed 72% of Americans that they surveyed said they would not be comfortable going to a live sporting event until there is a vaccine for coronavirus. So I ask you guys, are you ready to go back? Would you be willing to go back? Are you hesitant to go back? Give me your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. But we're going to start with Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has a full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. It's just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Now, I just gave you a little bit of what Dak Prescott had to say about his moment coming in here. So about the party over the weekend, it was a big conversation today that they had on First Take as Max and Stephen A. talked about their thoughts on Dak's comments after his weekend, let's say, get together.
Somewhat, only from the standpoint that we got at him because whether it was 30 or 10, it appeared to be a party. People were fraternizing and socializing with each other without engaging in social distancing. The reality of the situation is that we reacted to the reports, and based on what he's saying, if it's erroneous, then we owe him some level of modification. Not totally, because in the end, there were people in his home that don't live in his home, and they were having dinner together, and during the coronavirus, that's not something that has been encouraged, not by medical professionals, not by our government officials, not by anybody. So I'm not trying to give a complete mea culpa here, but I do think out of sheer respect for him and his position, because he does have truth on his side, he would happen to know how many people were there and what have you. If it wasn't a party, and indeed it was a dinner, if it was less than 30 people and it was less than 10 people, then that's contrary to the things that were being reported. That's what we reacted to. And if that's what we reacted to, we owe him to some degree, some semblance of modification in terms of recognizing the fact that he may have been with just a few people. Now, obviously, one would surmise Ezekiel Elliott doesn't live with him. He has his own crib along with the other people that were in attendance, at least some of them. So he's not completely off the hook here. But in the end, if it's less than 30, if it's less than 10, and it was a dinner as opposed to a party and what have you, then that does paint a different picture than what was initially disseminated to the masses. And as a result of that, I would modify my position somewhat. I wouldn't go at him as hard. I still don't think it was great, but nevertheless, I wouldn't go at him as hard as I did yesterday.
It changes nothing for me because I went on the assumption that it was 10 or fewer people, that it was a legal gathering, that there were no restrictions set in place or guidance set in place to tell him not to do that. And still, I was very critical, so nothing changes here. I do like the fact that he said, look, I'm still adjusting to this. It's true. It takes some a period of adjustment here in New York where it hit you know, really hard and earlier people got used to, you know, earlier in the process, social distancing and what that means. So I accept that. I like that he said that. It explains some things. But my criticism originally is based on this. Why do you have people at your house who don't need to be there? You know, I don't care, frankly, Stephen A., if it's a gathering of 15 people, if they all live in the same house, if you live there, if you have a large family and you all live under the same roof, what are you supposed to do? I get that. But no matter how you view the people at that gathering, teammates that you think of like brothers, extended family, cousins, whoever it is, if they don't live where you live, by the way, this goes for your mom and dad. You know, if someone doesn't live where you live and they don't need to be there, they shouldn't be there because then they go home to where they live and whoever has anything spreads it there and then et cetera, et cetera. So who needs to be there other than your immediate family? The plumber, the exterminator, the refrigerator repair guy, something, you know, you need someone there. So you carefully have them come in. You observe social distancing. You wipe everything down and then they leave, right? Or they leave, you wipe everything down. Like that's the level of seriousness people need to take this. And I understand a lot of people talking about, well, it's the same number of fatalities as the flu. Yes, because we've changed the entire world. With social distancing, we've kept this to where people are passing away from it at roughly the same numbers as a flu. Because we've changed the world to do that, and the worst may still yet to come. So this needs to be taken very seriously, and what I saw from Dak at the time was a lack of seriousness. Now, he says he's still getting used to it. That indicates a kind of learning curve. Okay, that's great that he had that response to it, but the initial criticism of having people over for a dinner party remains the same for me.
Well, for me personally, here's where I think the modification comes in. Number one, again, I was operating under the assumption that it was at least 10 people. So I'm just my personal mea culpa there. But the other part about it is that the reason why I didn't completely let him off the hook, Mac, is because you had people there that clearly didn't mind displaying how they were socially gathering with one another. Because TMZ nor anybody else would have known anything about it had people not been inside his house literally filming the buffet along with the fact that they were there having a good old time. That's the kind of thing that Dak should be upset about rather than the media going off about it. He should be upset about people that disseminated his private business. We would not have known about what was going on at his home, inside his crib or whatever the case may be, if somebody had not publicized it that he had invited into his home.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and we're presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Stephen A. just dropped the mic with that moment, because if you've ever been to somebody's house that doesn't want you to know anybody to know that you're there, especially when you're talking about famous people, it's simple. They just turn around to all their friends and say, put your phones away. Don't tweet about it. Don't text about it. Don't tell anybody. So, First Take host Stephen A. Smith joins us right now. On the heels of that, Stephen A., thanks for your time. I hope you're healthy.
No problem, buddy.
Everybody's good for you guys.
Same to you and yours.
Thank you. I walk away from this with what you just said, wondering, do you think Dak really understands the scrutiny that comes with the level of platform he now has?
I don't think he understood it in this particular situation. But in fairness to him, again, if there were not 30 people, if there were not 10 people, and it was just a few people that he had over for dinner, as unadvisable as that might be at this particular moment in time because of the times that we're living in, let's face reality. Everybody is not adhering to that from a literal perspective. There's a level of social distancing that folks have engaged in and will continue to engage in. We get that. I think the most incriminating photos against Dak Prescott was photos that he tweeted out or others tweeted out of him working out with Dez Bryant and others, where you see all of them hugging each other after the workout finished to pose for a picture. in this particular situation where he's at his house, he wasn't in that picture. That means the people that he had in there, somebody violated his trust and put it out there and gave the impression, you know what, we're ignoring the coronavirus and we're up in here socially gathering and having a good old time. And that clearly was not the message that you want disseminated, particularly if you're the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys looking for a new multi-year contract.
We're talking to Stephen A. Smith, of course, on First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So he's also made it clear, he being Dak, that he's not going to participate in any of the virtual offseason activities until he gets a new deal. What's your reaction to that,
Stephen? I don't blame him one damn bit. I wouldn't show up to any of them either. The reality of the situation is that this is a guy that has never missed a game. It was back page news when he missed one practice last season. He's taken them to the playoffs twice. He's completed better than 65% of his passes in 3 of the 4 years he's been in the National Football League. He's won more games than he has lost. All of those things taken into consideration. He's the quarterback playing the most important position for your franchise. He's an extension, essentially, of Jerry Jones and what have you. And you don't pay him, but you pay Jalen Smith. You pay DeMarcus Lawrence. You pay Ezekiel Elliott. You pay all of these dudes, but you don't pay your quarterback. It's utterly ridiculous. I don't blame him one bit for being frustrated. We can haggle over, all right, it's not about the dollars, it's about the years, but once upon a time it was about the dollars, but no longer is that the case. All of this stuff. Bottom line is you don't have the kind of deal that has satisfied Dak Prescott enough to sign it. And that, to me, is utterly ridiculous. And then when you take into account the fact that, again, his durability hasn't been a question mark. His accountability hasn't been a question mark. His availability hasn't been a question mark. Even the great Tony Romo was perpetually injured, and his durability was a question mark, and therefore his availability was a question mark. And I bring up Tony Romo because I simply ask this question facetiously or otherwise to Cowboy fans everywhere. If Tony Romo was in Dak Prescott's position, same numbers, same wins and losses, all of that stuff, would Tony Romo not have been paid by Jerry Jones by now? We all know the answer to that. We know Jerry Jones would have taken care of him. But for some reason, with Dak Prescott, that isn't the case. And that is what I find. I don't like that feeling at all. So as far as I'm concerned, if I'm Dak Prescott, I wait. I'm not showing up to a damn thing until I absolutely have to. And that includes training camp.
There's a level, Stephen A., and I've heard you mention that before. So I asked Todd Archer, our ESPN Cowboys reporter, about it at the time. And Todd agreed with your assessment in the sense that Dak just has never gotten the same personal relationship with Jerry Jones for whatever reason. So when you think about that personal relationship, I guess my only challenge to his decision to not be a part of the virtuals is that when you're standing on a practice field, when you're taking snaps, there's always the risk of injury. I understand an athlete saying, I won't take part in that if you're not going to pay me. But when you're talking about simple virtual work with a new coach, new offensive coordinator, new system to learn, is there any harm in simply coming in virtually and doing these calls to make sure that you're doing the right business side of it, like relationship side of it?
Let me be direct. The objective is to harm the Cowboys, to be quite honest with you. If I'm being totally candid with you, Fitz, the objective is to harm them. It is to make them uncomfortable. It is to leave them in a tailspin wondering about what kind of season they're going to have. Because what other means has Dak Prescott not exhausted? He's been a model citizen. He's been a high character guy. He's been a leader. He's been completely dependable. Hasn't missed a game, has won more games than he's lost. You've compromised his defense. At one point in time, you compromised his offense because you waited to give Ezekiel Elliott his money. You've given others money before you've given it to him. You've done all of these things. The objective is to hurt them. And that's a tough spot coming from me. We all know that people know me as a Cowboy hater. I'm really a Cowboy fans hater. I find Cowboy fans to be the most disgusting, nauseating fan base in American history. I can't stand them, and nothing pleases me more than to see a Dallas Cowboy fan miserable. Healthy, but miserable. I can't stand a Dallas Cowboy fan being happy. They make me sick to my stomach. Make me want to throw up every time I see one of them. How about them Cowboys when they ain't won a damn championship in a quarter century? Having said all of that, I have totally different feelings about Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones and I hung out at a Super Bowl party. People were sitting up there saying Stephen A's going to the dark side. What the hell is going on here? Because Jerry Jones and I were seen hugging each other and yucking it up. His wife, his children, they're great. Stephen Jones and I were there. The three of us were supposed to go out for a drink sometime in the near future. I got a lot of love for Jerry Jones, my Libra buddy. I know I play around with that on First Take and stuff like that. But to sit there and talk to this man, he is just an absolute pleasure to talk to listen to. He's a brilliant, brilliant businessman. And I have a strong, in all seriousness, I got an incredibly strong level of affection for that man, especially when you talk to former players of his who talk about the extent that he's going through to take care of them, to watch out for them, to look out for them, watch their back, et cetera, et cetera. I got a lot of love for Jerry Jones. I just emphatically disagree with him on this Dak Prescott situation. I do not believe you leave your quarterback hanging like this. Let everybody else hang like that. But you don't do that to your quarterback. And he's never had, and you're right, Dak Prescott never seems to have that relationship. I wonder why that is. Could it be that from the time that Tony Romo was hurt, when Dak Prescott came into the league as a fourth round pick and he played lights out in the preseason and it was clear he was going to start, and then after that he played lights out and it was clear that the future had arrived at the quarterback position, everybody and their mother was ready to hand that mantle to Dak Prescott, except Jerry Jones, because he was holding on for dear life for the return of Tony Romo, who he loved so. And even when Tony Romo retired, Jerry Jones was still reluctant to give that love to Dak Prescott. That's just a fact.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz talking to the great Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A., I want to switch gears and get your thoughts on an NBA topic that's sort of taken off today and over the last 24 hours with Dr. Fauci commenting that the only way that sports in his mind can come back quickly would be somewhere isolated, and the thought that maybe putting players up in hotels, it leads to a Las Vegas conversation I've heard a few times of the thought of putting teams up at a place like the MGM and playing a playoff round at the stadium that's an arena that's attached to that. What are your thoughts when you think of a return plan from the NBA that could lead to total isolation in one spot for the players?
Well, I'm glad you asked me about that, because I'm interested in your input on this as well, Fitz. Here's my thing. I was one of those people that mentioned Las Vegas weeks ago. The only reason I mentioned that as it pertained to the NBA is because it was mentioned to me by several agents who had meetings with the Players Association, who had talked to team executives, et cetera, et cetera. And they were talking about how Vegas was a possibility. Here's what I would tell you. When it comes to sports returning, particularly what Dr. Fauci had to say, certainly I'm going to lean on his judgment. I would tell you that I think it's incredibly plausible, and I can tell you right now that as uncomfortable as it would be for professional athletes to be playing with no fans in attendance, it is entirely doable. I am somebody who believes the sport of baseball can be played with relative ease. You play in front of damn near empty stadiums all the time anyway, from what we see on the highlights or SportsCenter and beyond. Every time you see it, look at how most of those stadiums are. You might see five people in the stands, okay? Golf can be played without the fans in attendance. Tennis can be played without the fans in attendance, because when you look at those respective sports, how much contact is there? I mean, talk about practicing social distancing in the midst of performing. Those sports can do it with ease. In terms of boxing and the UFC, when we take into account the importance of testing, because we're not going to find, according to the medical professionals, we're not going to find a vaccine for at least another year, close to another year at the earliest, okay? And there still are not vaccines for various things. What vaccine is there exist fits about SARS? What about HIV, et cetera, et cetera? There's been viruses that have taken place that there's no cure for it. There's no vaccine to cure it, but can it become treatable? That's the question here. And obviously testing has a lot to do with that. So if you're talking about a minimal amount of tests that need to take place, because that's what you're talking about with boxing and the UFC, the two combatants and the officials inside the octagon or the ring. All right. That's what you're talking about there. So these are sports that can take place without the fans in attendance. Understanding that, getting directly to football and basketball, certainly that ain't the case. It's going to involve significantly more testing. Dr. Fauci talked about isolating folks in a hotel, quarantining them from their families, particularly for a playoff that's going to last anywhere from 6 weeks to 2 months, depending on, you know, you're not going to have seven-game series in every round. I think they proposed 3 games and then 5 games, and then in the conference finals and the finals, it would be 7 games then. People have been talking about that. But in the end, what I would say particularly the American people is this. It's ideal to have fans there. You do not need the fans in attendance to have those games. You can have those games on television. The ratings will be through the roof. Now, football and basketball are relatively localized sports. So a lot of their money comes from regional activity, and we get that. And you have to deal with that as time goes on. We certainly understand that. But in the end, what it comes down to is that can the games actually be played without fans in attendance? The answer is yes, and the ratings on television would be through the roof, because where are everybody going? If there's no social gatherings that are taking place, well, guess what, Fitz? They're going to be watching it on TV, and the ratings will be higher than ever.
Well, and I agree, Stephen A., and I'll also show a little bit of my bias to Vegas being the city I was born in. You know, that city, I've talked to a lot of my friends and people out there. They'll say that this is the worst Las Vegas has ever seen, worse than, you know, 9/11, worse than the global crisis in 2009 economically. I mean, this is the worst moment they've ever been through. So the opportunity for Vegas to get shine through all of it, selfishly to me, reminds people that, hey, there's a city still there, and if they can find some income out of it, that's great for them too. So I'll steal from Mark Spears, who also suggested that they could put DJs in the arenas to give us a little bit of vibe and let the players have some fun while they're playing the games.
And Fitz, what about what Kirk Cousins said in terms of sound being implemented? You know, the sound is being implemented during training camp and practices and stuff like that. When you're preparing for road games, there's sound that's implemented into the equation to prepare you for the environment that you're supposed to be prepared, you know, getting set to face that particular weekend. So you have that going on. But I also wanted to say this, because I haven't heard many people say this, and it's important that people hear this from my mouth outside of First Take, because obviously I don't have but so much time to speak on this. We have to stop acting like it's heinous, it's unethical, and it's amoral to at least discuss economics in this equation. Of course the priority is to keep people safe. Of course the priority is the safety of every human being that you can imagine. We got that. You can't find a vaccine in time, at least elevate the level of testing. I think as much money and as much resources as we can possibly fathom should be poured in to the medical profession. Not just because of the medical professionals and what they need, but in terms of personal protection equipment, in terms of facilities available, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever it takes to elevate that, I think is incredibly important. But at the end of the day, even though I'm not one to agree with everything the president or various politicians on both sides of the aisle preach about, let's not engage in partisanship or anything like that. We don't even have to engage in politics. Let's engage in common sense. How many people do you believe can afford to sit home for the next couple of months? How many people do you believe can sit home and not collect a paycheck? I would challenge anybody on that. Max Kellerman comes on the air today and he states, hey, it's the government's job to make sure all of us still receive a check. There are millions upon millions of people who believe otherwise. No matter what side of the aisle you fall on, here's the bottom line. We have an economy, and if you have people whose quality of life is severely compromised, ultimately it's going to come to a point where that challenge is going to be presented to us, and we're going to have to answer the call. It's an unpopular subject to broach. I think it's something that you should ask your listeners about, but I am a black man who grew up poor. I know what poverty is like. I lived like it half of my life, at the very least. I know what government cheese tastes like. I know what government bread is all about. I know what a welfare check is via my mother and how she struggled early on in my lifetime. I have starved. I know what that's about. And I'm here to tell you something right now. If you put anybody, black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter, You put anybody in a position where they're wondering about whether or not they're going to eat. They're going to have heat in their home. They're going to have a roof over their head. If you put them in that position and ultimately say to them, this is our situation. Now, if you stay here, it's just going to deteriorate. Or you're going to have to go out there and take your chances and go to work. They're going to tell you we're willing to take our chances. That's the reality of the situation that most people are living in. We have to be sensitive to that. It's not about these professional athletes and their million-dollar playpens and all of this other stuff and the money that they have earned and they have secured for themselves. These sports leagues employ thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people along with the sports networks as well. We have to take that into consideration and think about that first when we're talking about the world of sports and the need for a return.
Brilliantly said. You guys can follow him on Twitter at Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A., we always appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks for coming on with us. Always great. Stay safe.
Thank you, man. You do the same.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio. Stephen A. just gave us a lot to break down there. We're going to break some of that down, and you're going to hear some of the comments from what was said by Dr. Anthony Fauci and his take on how sports can come back. You'll hear all of that coming up next. First take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
First take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, also on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm asking you guys, Dr. Fauci, we all know who he is at this point. It's funny, nobody knew Dr. Fauci's name a couple of months ago, and now all of a sudden people are obsessed with his daily updates, rightfully so. He's trying to give us the information we all need. So he has made comments, and you can check out the article on ESPN.com that he's gone on record saying that in his mind, the only way sports can return is if they do so without a crowd. I want your thoughts on that. And spinning off of that, the Seton Hall School of Business has done a survey of Americans asking how comfortable they'll be returning to sports live without a vaccine. And 72% of the people that they surveyed said no, they wouldn't go. So I've asked you on Twitter also to chime in at Jason Fitz. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Tobin said, I wouldn't go, especially with my kids. Side note, the better TV product, i.e. the NFL, the less likely I would be to even consider it, which is a great point when you start to think about it. Greg, though, says, yes, it's just simple. Yes, he's all in. Will says, I would attend and not think twice about it. And Bill said 100% would attend today without a vaccine. Who'd they poll? The non-sports fans in the country? So keep them coming. Let me know your thoughts. Are you ready and willing to go the minute they open back up to the public? 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We're brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a better life. Speaking of Dr. Fauci's comments, his comments about specifically sports being played isolated in a way where nobody can be in the crowd was a point of debate today for Stephen A. and Max as they react to Dr. Fauci's comments.
I appreciate Dr. Fauci's comments. Obviously, he's the renowned expert on infectious diseases. We know his resume very, very well because we see him all the time. And he presented an option upon which the sports world can return to action. Remember, he emphasized that there would be no fans in attendance. You cannot have that. That the players need to be secluded. That the players need to be tested. And ultimately, what you're pointing to is that even though it's going to be a compromising situation, make no mistake about it, for professional athletes to perform in empty arenas, empty stadiums, et cetera, et cetera, the millions upon millions of people that would be watching on TV TV would give a tremendous boost to the economy. I'm not thinking about the players, and I'm thinking about everybody in terms of their health, but I'm not thinking about games. I'm not thinking about entertainment. I'm thinking about the thousands upon thousands of people who are employed in the world of professional sports that would be without a job in the event that sports doesn't return for a lengthy period of time. And I applaud the fact that, you know, whether it's the president or whomever else is involved, the Adam Silvers of the world, Mark Cubans of the world, Roger Goodell and others, this is not going to be some unilateral decision. The experts, the people that would know a thing or two about all of this, along with the medical professionals, obviously, would play a significant role in reaching this decision. And so as long as it goes down that way, I'm totally comfortable with what Dr. Fauci suggested.
I love that he said this because it validates my own thinking about it. So I feel good about that, Stephen A. It seemed to me from the beginning, common sense says as long as the tests are widely available, and that's really what we're waiting on here, and they're strict quarantining, and he talked about surveillance, so like you know that they're really quarantining. And that may mean away from their families, by the way. I don't see why you can't have sports. To me, the ethical question has always been the fact that you would be taking tests away from people who may really need them, and it's an issue of life and death in order to play a sport. But once the tests become more widely available, then that's great. That's the reason I supported what Dana did. He got his hands on some tests, and people can say, well, how did he get those tests? It doesn't take that many to test for a fight card, for example. I think boxing could do it. Golf, maybe tennis, depending on how that's regulated.
UFC.
Because the lower the number of tests, the easier it should be to do. But and once you do that, if you quarantine and are strict about it, I don't see why not. There's a very good argument. It's good for public morale, for national morale. So I'm glad to hear that he said this. And this is a guy who's worked for countless administrations now. So his advice never seems political. It always seems to be based on medical expertise. And so for him to say this, I think, is very encouraging for sports fans. And as I've always maintained, there's you know, in addition to this, a good, even ethical argument for why it's okay for sports leagues to pursue tests, so long as it's not an issue of life and death for others. So long as they become more widely available, maybe even out of proportion to the rest of society, for lack of a better term, because I think there is great kind of value in the diversion of sports during a national crisis.
Well, my biggest thing is let's be careful with the word ethical, because obviously if you want to apply it to an administration or whatever the case may be, and you want to challenge what their thinking is in terms of the verbiage emanating over the national airwaves, that would be different. But what I'm saying is that let's not act like thinking about things economically is unethical, because the fact of the matter is economics is what determines people's quality of life, the life that they do have, the life that they ultimately will have. We can't ignore that. Some people's priorities are different than others. That's the world that I come from. Of course you want testing. Of course that should be a priority. Of course the overall health of us as a society and every single human being's lives matter. We understand that. But you do have a situation where if they keep throwing this information out there, it's going to be about a year before we find a vaccine. Now it becomes testing as a priority. And if testing is the priority, you have some people out there that have been appalled at the notion that professional athletes and professional sports teams would have access to tests. But my point is, if they employ thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, that does matter, and it warrants a conversation as opposed to being summarily dismissed as unethical to take that into consideration.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Stephen A. joined us earlier. If you missed it, you can check it out in the podcast. But I think there's an important point here. Look, we all understand what actually matters in the world today. Does that mean that we shouldn't at least be looking at every possible solution to try and bring things back to normal? No. Every single sport is doing that. Every single business right now is doing that. Let's not pretend that suddenly the business owners, whether they own a retail store or whether they own a car shop or whether they own ESPN, everybody's looking around saying, okay, what are we going to do? How can we get back to some level of normal? And how can we find some way to bring our product out to people and still make revenue? That's the world we're in right now. So these conversations about sports aren't some need to make sports more important than health. This is all about health. But at some point, you owe it to everybody that's employed for your company. No matter what that company does, you owe it to everybody employed to be doing everything you can to figure out if there's a way to bring in revenue. The hope for all of this is that somehow we can come out of it as unscathed as possible. And bringing business back as soon as possible while still healthy and protected is the goal of everybody involved in this. There's just more eyeballs around sports because it gives us the escapism we want so much. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, quote and buy, all online at progressive.com. Coming up, was the Bulls dynasty over before their last run even started? First Take weighed in. You'll hear it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We've been asking you guys, are you going to go back? Are you going to check out the whenever sports are opened up, are you going to go back in and watch them live? It's a simple question with a complicated answer. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you missed the first hour of the show today, go check out the entire hour on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? Be sure to check it out too. We had a great interview with Stephen A. And also, don't forget, tune in. Oh, it's this weekend, The Last Dance. You're finally going to get it. It's a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. It's a 10-part series, begins Sunday, April 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. You can listen to the wrap-up podcast, also hosted by Jalen and Jacoby. That is immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. I want to get your take based on Dr. Fauci's comments on sports coming back fanless and a survey by Seton Hall that shows that 72% of the people they surveyed would not be comfortable going back to sporting events when they reopen. Where are you on it? You going back? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll take some of your take in just a second. But speaking of The Last Dance, was the Bulls dynasty over before it even began on their last title run? Stephen A. commented on that today.
I thought it was over. And listen, it's hard to say, particularly that last season. They won 62 games. Jordan had averaged 28.7 points per game on 46% shooting. Scottie Pippen, he was around 19 points a game. Dennis Rodman had averaged about 15 rebounds a game, etc. I'm only going by what I saw because of all that they had endured. Now, if Jerry Krause and his relationship with the players weren't so bad, his relationship with Phil Jackson wasn't so bad, that the climate didn't exist where they felt like they were being pushed out of the door, and as a result, appearing to be at times so drained, like everything was an uphill battle, then maybe it would be different. But based on what I saw, probably residue from all they were going through off the court, but based on what I saw on the court, I just felt like that really, really was their last dance. You could tell that it was over. that they were ready to move on because they were so disgusted at having to be pushed out that everybody just wanted to go their separate ways. That's the only reason I feel that way, because of what I saw, residue in all likelihood, leaning off of the whole Jerry Krause situation and beyond.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. We'll get some insight into that with The Last Dance. Remember, that starts on Sunday. Can't wait for all of that. I'm taking your take. When sports are reopening, are you going to be comfortable going back? Are you looking for fans in the stands? Danny in Virginia, what do you got? What's your take on it?
Yeah, man, I'll be glad to. Like, I like NASCAR, and I love going to the races, and I can't wait to go back.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense, and NASCAR is one of the opportunities, I think, to get back even sooner than many. I mean, we talk about the sports that seem well positioned to come back. Mike in Iowa, what's your take?
Yeah, I just had a question on it. If if people do come back without audience, without fans, the owners and the players will be getting revenue money. But what about the parking lot attendants? What about the folks running the concessions? What about the vendors, the hotel and motel owners, the bar owners? They're not getting anything. It just doesn't seem to make sense. They haven't really thought this out that well.
Mike, I mean, there's layers to it, number one, but I would argue that anybody that works for the team that you may not know of, you know, ad salespeople, for example, for the team are going to be able to come back and have a product to sell. So they'll be able to make money off of it. You mentioned hotels. One of the specific proposals for the NBA that's being at least talked about is the thought of putting everybody up in a hotel, one of the hotels in Vegas where everything's shut down right now. So those hotel employees right now aren't getting any work. And while they know that the stands won't allow for parking and concessions and things like that, it at least starts getting some people reemployed in the process. So, you know, it's not a final answer, but it's better than nothing for anybody that's around it that can have the opportunity to work. We'll keep taking your take. Plus, quarterback continued, QB continued today. Talking my beloved Raiders and Derek Carr, you know I have something to say. That's next.